But we're carrying on. Oh, by the way, I'm Evan. Hey, yeah, you can say it. I'm Evan. Hi, Evan. Yeah. I'm the lead pastor here. If you're new here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And to all of those who already know me, welcome here as well. But we're carrying on a series today, actually wrapping up a series today that we've called Road to Recovery. And today we're going to be talking about sort of the last step in this journey that we want to share. But we want to start this message off with a little testimony from one of our own. We've had a testimony with basically every one of these Road to Recovery sermons. And I'm just so thankful for Kyle, who's putting those together, and for Andrew, who's working with the sound and things. They're just an amazing team that are serving us. And I'm so glad that we have testimonies in this church. I'm so glad that we have stories of people's lives who have been changed, and it's just exciting to be a part of. So this lady, Lori-Ann, she helps us with Celebrate Recovery, one of our key leaders on Monday nights, and she's going to share her story with us now.
Hi, my name is Lori-Ann Mitchell, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. Well, before I met Jesus, was 26 long years. I actually didn't come to know Jesus until August of 1996, in I guess you could say in a salvation manner. Prior to that, I did have an experience with God when I was a kid, but just, you know, lived with an alcoholic from 8 to 16. My Uncle Clifford and my Aunt Jenna had taken me in when I was a little girl to raise me for a few years, and so I lived with some pretty intense alcoholic behaviors, and so I learned a lot of coping skills and a lot of survival skills that were great as a child, but when you grow into an adulthood, they just led to a lot of dysfunctional relationships, a lot of chaos. You know, I became a waitress when I was 17, dropped out of high school, and just got into a really heavy party sort of life, and did that for the next few years until I was about 25 years old. And it was at that time that I was in a car accident, and I was a passenger in a vehicle. We were racing from one bar to another to try to make last call, and on the way, we instead of, you know, meeting at a bar, our car met a cement light standard in Oshawa, Ontario. And I woke up 2 days later, just coming out of the ICU at a hospital. And at that time, I was told that I was lucky to be alive. And it was at that time, during the days that I was in the hospital recuperating, that I really got to evaluate my life and where I was, and decided I had to make some serious changes. It was interesting because I had been on a spiritual journey for many years. As I said, I had an encounter with God when I was a kid. Just a really scary episode when the alcoholism in my uncle's life was really starting to manifest. And I was lying in bed, and I was about 8 or 9 years old, and the fighting was so frightening that I started crying. And even by that point, I had learned to cry silently. So nobody could hear me, and I remember crying out to God, and the only real encounter I'd had with God or about God at that point was an Anglican Sunday school. I'd gone a couple of times, and I remember coloring in pictures of Jesus, and that was about it, but I guess it was enough. And I was lying in bed, and I asked God to hold my hand, and I held my hand up, and to this day I can still remember the feel of a hand curling into mine and tucking under my chin, and just complete peace. And from that point on, I just talked to God and I talked to Jesus all the time, but I didn't really understand it. And so when this car accident happened, I remember waking up in the hospital and everybody telling me, the doctors, the nurses, everyone telling me, you know, you're lucky to be alive. And I had broken bones everywhere, and I was trying to brush my hair, but my right arm was broken and my left shoulder blade. So I was holding the brush in my hand and I was trying to brush it through my hair, and I couldn't do it. And I just started weeping, and I just said, you know, God, I can't keep living like this. I can't keep living my life like this. And I keep trying to find you and I keep failing. And so if you find me a church that teaches the truth, I'll give you everything I have. A few years before, I had worked at a restaurant with a girl who went to a really charismatic Pentecostal church, and so she used to come in and she was all Jesus, relationship with Jesus, and you can have a relationship with Jesus, and would tell me these really great stories of, what a relationship with Jesus was like. And then she was gone, and so this accident happened 2 years later. And when I got home from the hospital after telling God that if he could just get me a church that teaches the truth, I said, I'd give you my whole life, I'll give you everything I have. And when I got home, on the call display on our phone was her number, and I knew that was God answering that prayer. So when I called her, she had not heard about the accident, but she said, when you're able to come, I would be happy to have you come to church. And so a couple of months later, I started going to church, and I never looked back, and that was it. I gave up the drinking, I gave up the bars, I gave up everything, and just fixed, I guess you could say that scripture, fixed my eyes in Jesus, and that's been it. With God in my life, and with his help, I never looked back. August 19th was the last cigarette I had, and as I said, the last I partied, the last I, did anything crazy with my life, I guess you could say. So it's been lovely, actually. I feel a peace. I've been blessed. I have a husband who loves me. God opened the door for me to be able to adopt two children who I adore. I never thought I would be a wife and mother, and here I am. I wouldn't do it any other way. It's been amazing.
Amen. Lorianne, one of the things that she said right at the end, or right near the end, she said, I gave up smoking, I gave up drinking, I gave up these things, and that was the last time I sort of did anything crazy. And when I saw that, I really feel like we sometimes think crazy is doing all of these wild things. All of those things are pretty normal in life now. Crazy is living for Jesus. Crazy is giving your life over to him and saying, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go. I'll live on whatever amount of money you want me to live on. I will do whatever you ask me to do. That's crazy nowadays. I'm so thankful to have a whole lot of crazies in this church. We got a lot of people who are living that kind of crazy life saying, listen, I don't need to live the way that everyone else lives. I can live this way, and I can walk through this road to recovery. And so I'm cheering for every person who decides, I want to walk through recovery. I want to know freedom from hurts and habits and hang-ups. I'm cheering for you as you allow God to shape your heart, and you let Jesus just free you from these things. That's crazy, and I'm just crazy enough to believe that it can happen. And we've got a lot of stories that way. And so it's exciting. Thank you for sharing that, Lorianne. We're excited about our team here. And so we're carrying on this series and wrapping it up today. And this last step in the road to recovery that we wanted to cover says this. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who've hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Well, if you haven't caught up with the rest of the series, you're new here today, you can go to ngate.ca and all of our sermons are on there, and you can check them out under messages. But this is kind of the last one that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the relationship aspect. The challenge with relationship is that at some point we have some level of expectation of the other person in the relationship. That they should do something for me. That they should act a certain way towards me. And when those expectations are not met, sometimes it doesn't go so well for us. A while ago, my wife and I lived in Victoria, and we would drive up to Courtney pretty regularly. This was our, vacation spot. This was the place to go. Don't we live in an awesome place here in the Comox Valley? Oh, Man, when the sun is shining, thank you, Lord. Like, this is a good place to be. But we'd come here, and we'd always stop at this one Starbucks in Duncan. It had a drive-through. I don't know why. I just love drive-throughs. And we'd go and grab our coffee, and conversation just goes better with coffee in my mind. So anyways, we'd grab our coffee and carry on and drive along. And as we were driving up to this Duncan Starbucks once upon a time, my wife said, "Evan, we're not going to that one." I said, "Well, why not? Like, Starbucks, tasty, we need a coffee, conversation's a little dry." Just kidding. And so let's just grab one. And she's like, "No, they've got my order wrong the last 3 times I've been there." And I'm like, 3 times? That's not that bad. Like, let's try a fourth, you know? But there is something when we show up at a Starbucks or we show up at a restaurant or we show up somewhere that we think, "Oh, this is all you have to do. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to be patient if I need to. All I ask you to do is give me what I ask for. That's all I want. If you give me what I ask for, I will like you and I will come back. If you don't, I'm out of here." And sometimes we treat relationships that way. We're kind of getting to a place where you just give me what I ask of you. You treat me a certain way and we'll do just fine. You behave a certain way around me and I'll be okay. As long as you apologize very frequently, we'll be okay. As long as you give me lots of gifts, we'll be just fine. As long as you don't say anything bad about me. In fact, you should probably say some good things about me. As long as you do those things, we can be in relationship and we can walk this out and we can carry on. But sometimes the reality of relationships, it doesn't go that way, right? And we walk through a relationship, maybe it's a dating relationship, maybe it's marriage, maybe it's a friendship, maybe it's with a parent or a kid or a sibling or an uncle or an aunt or whatever it might be. We walk through a relationship and it falls apart because they didn't treat me the way I expected to be treated. I wasn't given what I expected to be given. And so we have a little bit of damage in our heart. Our heart gets a little bit crunchy when it's supposed to be soft. Our heart gets a little bit of a shell, a little bit of a protection. We start to put up a little bit of walls. And eventually, when we're walking through the road to recovery, we're going to bump into those walls and say, "Those need to come down. How does it happen?" Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness." Get rid of all, not get rid of all unjustified bitterness, but as long as you're justified in your bitterness, keep that. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger towards other people, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as he did for you, do that for other people. Just as he forgave you, forgive other people. This says, get rid of every piece of bitterness, every piece of resentment, every piece of unforgiveness, everything that sort of blocks your heart from being everything that is supposed to be, everything that keeps you burdened and bound. You know, resentment hurts no one except yourself. You know, we think this is the way to get back at people. I'll show them. I'm not going to go around them. And I'm a grumpy person, and I'm going to go and talk to other people. And everyone else is like, "I don't want to talk to you. You're too grumpy. You know, you're just not nice to be around." And I show them, and they're all happy and fine. They don't realize what they've done to you. And they're like, "I'm just going to go ahead and get really mad in my heart, and they're going to live a happy life, and I'm going to be angry the rest of mine." It hurts you only, that resentment, that bitterness. It eats you, and you think you're doing something against that person, but that very thought, that very process in your mind damages you and keeps you from recovering how you're meant to, keeps you from the freedom you're supposed to have, keeps you from the joy that is in the Lord, keeps you from the life that God wants you to know and experience in you, as long as you hold that in your heart. A good marker for me in my marriage, I've discovered, is if I'm apologizing or not. If I'm apologizing, I don't know about you, I always have something to apologize for. So if I'm apologizing, I know my heart is in a good place. And if my heart's going to a bad place, I stop apologizing. I've just noticed that. That's part of my life. I don't know if that's yours or not. But when we first got married, my wife and I, Kendall and I would apologize all the time. I think I would probably always thought I was going to be missing her expectations of me. So I'm like, I just better say sorry. Okay, you married me? Sorry. Let's Let's carry on. Let's just move forward and see what happens. I'm sorry that you're in this now, but here we go. Over time, I started realizing that she wasn't perfect either. It's a shock, I know. And sometimes, even in her imperfection, if she accidentally hurt me, she sometimes wouldn't say sorry to me, believe it or not. And so if she wouldn't do that to me, I would start to say, well, I guess that's how it's going to be. No sorries around here. No forgiveness, no apologies. Why don't we all just put up some walls and not really talk to each other or not really share anything and never get to the vulnerable places in our hearts, because I tried apologizing, you didn't apologize back. I tried forgiving and you didn't forgive back. I forgave and then you did it again. You know, I said it was okay, but then you just carried on, and then I decided it wasn't okay and I took it back. You know, we walk through these things with people, and marriages reveals the most of our just nasty, crunchy heart syndrome. Like, that shows us the most of what we don't like about ourselves. We stop forgiving. We stop apologizing. We stop taking the blame because we think, well, they deserve more of the blame. Well, they did more. Of course I'd forgive them if they forgive me. Of course I'd take the blame as long as they do it first. We have this expectation we place on someone else. Bible in Luke 6:31 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. You imagine, you know, that damaged relationship in your life. You imagine the person that has hurt you maybe over and over. Maybe it is your spouse. Maybe it's a friend or a parent or a teacher or whatever it is. You imagine what it would look like for them to come to you and offer an apology. Hey, listen, I realize that you are an incredible human being and my actions have damaged you. I take full blame, and I'm fully sorry for that. I wish I hadn't done that to you, and I know that it has hurt you. I would like to be a part of the restoration process, whatever that looks like. Can I help you in that? Will you accept my apology? And Luke here says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So whatever that looked like in your mind, you need to now go do that. Whatever you wanted someone to do for you, it's time for you to go do that for someone else. Whatever restoration you thought someone else should bring into your relationship, you need to flip it over and bring it back to them. When you imagine someone coming and apologizing to you, you rarely imagine yourself saying, no, me first. You usually say, yeah. You say some more nice things and tell me some better things and keep speaking about my nice full head of hair and all of that stuff. Tell me about all these nice things about me. As long as you do all of that, then I might apologize. Well, if we're going to do to others as we would have them do to us, then we would show up to the relationship and we would be pouring out all of that love on that person without them saying anything back to us. Whoa, that's not easy. Restoring relationships is not easy, especially if it's been a long time coming. But this is going to hold us up most of our journeys. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, that's anything against anyone, that includes anything, and it includes everyone. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. It means release them from any fault. Release them. You're done holding anything against them. Forgive them. And here, this is the words of Jesus, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. We need the forgiveness of God. Jesus says, you forgive others so that. Not you forgive others and this will happen. Not you forgive others, we'll see. You forgive others so that your Father forgive you. In the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus also spoke, that so many of us speak out, says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. As much as I forgive them, would you forgive me, Jesus? I wonder how many of us would not like Jesus to only forgive us as much as we forgive people who hurt us. I want Jesus to give me a different kind of forgiveness because I don't do it as well as I need him to do it. Here we see when you need to forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. You say, well, I don't know if I can because I've got all these burdens and my heart is broken and I just don't feel very good. I don't feel like I can offer that very much. What am I supposed to do? Should I just go to them and tell them all the wrong they've done and how they've made me so mean and grumpy and cranky and just bitter in my heart? Should I just go and tell them that? And Jesus says in Matthew 11, no, you shouldn't. We've spoken about this verse in a few times lately. I would encourage you to memorize this verse. You need it. I need it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me with what you're wearing. Come to me with the heaviness. Come to me with the brokenness, says Jesus. Come to me. Stop going to someone else. They cannot carry your burdens for you. There's no person that will be able to hold your burdens. If you can't hold them, why do you think someone else can hold them? Humans cannot hold these burdens. We're not meant to. We're meant to give them to Jesus. So if you've got burdens, don't put them on someone else. Give them to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I wonder what it would look like if every one of us Christians at least, the people who know Jesus in this room, I wonder what it would look like if all of us, before we even showed up to church, had already given all of our burdens to God, had already poured all of our stuff out to Jesus, have already shared everything, and said, I'm weary, I'm tired, I give it over to you, Jesus. Some Sunday mornings, I already wake up weary and tired even when I wake up. What does it look like to give those things over to Jesus before you even show up, so that when you show up, you're actually already light and easy? He promised your burden will be light and the yoke will be easy. What would it look like to have a whole lobby full of people who don't have burdens that they're going to try to cast on everyone, but instead they've thrown their burdens to the place they belong and they're feeling light and easy to welcome in and take the burdens of other people and help them walk them to Jesus? What would that look like in a church? Just be a little bit of joy in the room. Someone would come in, you'd recognize the person with the rain cloud over their head, say, come on in. I want to point you to the one who's going to change your life. His name's Jesus. I'm already good this morning. I'm feeling good. We all of a sudden have emotional, mental, spiritual energy to give to other people. We've got some space in our hearts for people. We've got some space on our shoulders because we're not carrying our own loads. We can lift off someone else's for a bit. Say, come on with me. I'm feeling a little bit free to help you. Galatians 6:9 kind of paints the picture of what that church should look like. It says, Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will fulfill the law of Jesus Christ if you will carry each other's burdens. Now, you're not supposed to take their burdens and hold them and say, whew, okay, now I'm good. I'll take those, you're good, carry on. I know what that feels like. You know, you have a heavy conversation with someone and then you just wear that for the rest of the day and walk around. We're supposed to do the same thing with those burdens as we do with our own. We push them to the one who can actually do something about them. Humans can't. Humans will let you down in this area. You throw out all your burdens on them and humans don't know what to do with them, nor do they have the strength to do it. We all have our own thing that we're dealing with. We all have to just cast it on God and say, you take it, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm burdened, I want to be light and easy again. Would you let me have your joy, God? And when I have it, I can offer to take someone's burdens from them. Sometimes we think that giving our burden, this is talking about giving your burdens. We're not meant to come into church and give our burdens to each other. Hey, take this. I don't like it anymore. I need to worship, and it's hard to worship with that on my back. Why don't you carry it for a while? No, we're not supposed to give our burdens, yet we are supposed to take them from one another. When you have the capacity because you've sat with the Lord, you can take someone else's burdens. But when you put your burdens on someone else, they won't carry it. They can't. And all of a sudden, they let you down again. And your heart gets a little more crunchy, a little more bitter, a little more resentful because someone else let you down again. There's only one who says he won't let us down. It's Jesus. He says, come to me. Why are you going to Pastor Allen? He can't carry that. Come to me. Why are you going to Pastor George? He's not going to be able to carry that for you. Come to me. Why are you going to your small group leader? They can't carry that for you. Come to me. The process, it changes a little, the conversation where you go sit down with someone and say, oh, I'm so heavy, this is so bad, I can't carry this, it's broken, I don't know what to do with it. It changes from that to, I'm walking through a lot, but I keep going to Jesus, and I just see that he seems to be working in my life, and it's heavy, and I don't get it, but I'm believing for something because he keeps giving me this light burden and this easy yoke. Changes everything. What we need together, as we all are freed from some of the burdens that we're not supposed to be carrying, we need together then to reach the community, to reach each other, to reach our families, and say, I have space in my heart for your burden, to help you take it to where it belongs, not on me, but with Christ. I want to show you an image of a guy who kind of does this for another. And as they do, the worship team can make their way up.
First of the strawberries with cream. Do you remember the taste of strawberries?
Oh, Sam, I can't recall the taste of food. Not the sound of water. Touch of grass. Be rid of it. Once and for all. Come on, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you. But I can carry you. Come on!
Lord of the Rings. You know, this is a very similar picture to Scripture. We can't carry each other's burdens, but we can carry each other to the one who can. We can move each other in that direction. I mean, we can help, we can haul it, we can put it on our shoulder for a second, put each other on our shoulder for a second, but we'll crush under each other's burdens the same we'll crush under our own. But we, as we work together, as we grow together, as we learn about each other and learn the challenge and the struggle and the difficulty and the weight of life on one another, we can push each other to the one who welcomes all the weary and all the burdened. Who welcomes all the tired, who welcomes all the broken, who welcomes all the addicted, who welcomes all the sick. And he gives them a light burden and an easy yoke. He loves them. He grows with them. This Sunday is small group Sunday, and we talk about small groups because we want you to be someone, to walk alongside some people and push them towards God, to watch them, their burdens fall off of them. We also want you to have people in your life who can identify you're carrying a burden that doesn't belong on you. You're carrying something that you shouldn't be holding. Come on, let's go. Let's go to the one who's going to help you walk light and easy again. And so we want you to have that in your life. We want you to have people like that in your life. And showing up on a Sunday doesn't ensure that. we can see Jesus on this day. But I know sometimes you come to church and you feel like, yeah, I came, I listened, I kind of sort of looked around and did my thing, and I left. I didn't really get anything out of it. And we're so often carrying something that we can't identify even in ourselves. I want you to be in a small group so that someone knows you well enough so that when you're carrying that thing, they can say, get that off your back. What are you doing? Come with me. If I have to haul you to Jesus, I will. If I have to walk you up this mountain, I will. If I have to carry you, I will. Because you got to get rid of that thing. So small groups are a place where you can get connected with people who will start to know you. It's where you'll build relationships, because it doesn't happen with this many people on a Sunday morning. Last month, we hit our highest numbers in a long time. Last month, our average attendance on Sunday morning was 500. Exactly, 500. That's amazing. About 2.5 years ago, we were about 275. We're almost twice the size of church. What does that do for relationships? It means that you can't show up and a pastor can be everything to everyone. It means that the worship team can't be everything to everyone. It means that no one can be everything to everyone. We just can't do that for each other. And so we need you. We ask you, please get yourself in a small group where you can care for each other like the church is meant to do. Carry each other's burdens to Jesus like the church is meant to do. Love each other like the church is meant to do. I can't do that for all of you. I wish I could. But there are people, there are small groups that want to do that for you. So there's a whole bunch of small groups here. And you should check this thing out. There's a bunch listed. We've grown a lot. We've added some more. We added a young adult one this time. Next Sunday, that one's going to start. And at Gary and Cindy Rankema's, right after our second service, you can go there for a bite to eat, some conversation, and some times of prayer. And I'm going to send some small group questions about the sermon that we're in. It's going to be exciting for them to do that. We've got a new crafting small group, where people are going to just get together and craft and chat about the Bible, chat about Jesus, chat about life, share each other's lives with each other and share burdens with each other, pray for each other. There's another group, speaking of crafting, that has just started meeting, and they're a group that meets all around mission. We have a number of different missions partners locally and globally in this church, and those people get together to pray for them or to write cards for them or to send gifts to them. Just to care for those who are out there doing things and let them know that our church is close to them. We've got other groups. We have a group for young married couples or maybe those who are thinking about getting married that they gather together and can sort of talk about what life looks like at that point. We have several groups for young families. We have Moms and Tots on Tuesday mornings where moms and kids just come and play and chat and just share life's journey together. We've got a couple other young family small groups where parents and kids are all getting together and meeting. It's awesome. We've got lots of groups. We've got some groups that cover big age spans. We've got some groups that are more designated to a certain age demographic, like the Young at Heart, who meet every Thursday, and they gather together in a large small group, and they meet and they share and they walk through life's journeys together. It's exciting to be part of a small group, and we want all of you to be part of one. So you can read these things, you can check it out. We'd love you to fill out this stuff, rip it off, hand it into the info center so we can try to get you connected where you're meant to be. We hope there's something for everyone. If there's not, and you say, no, I really wish there was this small group, whatever that is, still write that down for us so we can start to build towards that and try to make it happen. We also have Celebrate Recovery Monday nights, which has recovery small groups, both men and women ones, that we'd love for you to be a part of. If you're walking through something, any hurt, habit, or hang up, we'd love for you to go and join them. It's exciting. So we want you in a small group. We don't want you walking alone. We don't want you feeling like the burden of life is too heavy and you don't know what to do with it. We love people to help walk you towards the one who can give you a light burden and an easy yoke so that you have something to offer to other people, and so you can care for them, you can walk with them, and you can share life with people. Life is better shared. We'd love for you to join a small group. All right? Yes. All right. All right. All right. Well, why don't we all stand up? These guys are going to sing us out of here. Have a great week. Go sign up for a small group. Come on back next week. Bring a friend. It's going to be good. We love you.